For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about Job, the man on the ash heap. You remember that Job was a man whom God tested very severely, and he was sitting on a heap of ashes, scraping his boils and his sores with a piece of broken pottery, and his friends, that's in quotation marks, came along and dished out endless explanations of his problem. We all have questions about suffering, always questions, if we think at all. And if our minds are oriented toward God, the questions become much more pressing. That was something that my second husband, who was dying of cancer, pointed out to me at that time. He said, "There's a sense in which it's even more bitter because I know God, even more mysterious because I know the Bible. If God were not there, we would have no one to rail against, as Job railed against him." But the interesting thing in this book, one of many interesting things in the book of Job, is that he never doubted the existence of God. He doubted his justice. He doubted his love. He doubted his concern for a man hideously tormented. He saw that God seemed indifferent, and even worse, a sardonic, cruel, even sadistic God. And Job leveled some pretty terrible charges against God. Yet God allowed him to carry on. God didn't strike him with a bolt of lightning, and nothing shut him up. Chapter 10 of the book of Job, verses 8 to 17. Job says, "Thy hands gave me shape and made me. And dost thou at once turn and destroy me? Remember that thou didst knead me," K-N-E-A-D, "knead me like clay. And wouldst thou turn me back into dust? Didst thou not pour me out like milk, and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews? Thou hast given me life and continuing favor, and thy providence has watched over my spirit." Job is saying here that the God who created me is destroying me. The God who loved me is my enemy. "Yet this was the secret purpose of thy heart, and I know that this was thy intent, that if I sinned, thou wouldst be watching me and wouldst not acquit me of my guilt. If I indeed am wicked, the worse for me. If I am righteous, even so I may lift up my head. If I am proud as a lion, thou dost hunt me down, and dost confront me again with marvelous power. Thou dost renew thy onslaught against me, and with mounting anger against me bringest fresh forces to the attack." Job is saying, there's no way that I can win. "Why did you bring me out of the womb?" he says, again making God into a cosmic sadist. Do you hate to hear people talk about God's love when you're in the darkest dungeon of despair? Does it just make you want to throttle anyone who has the audacity to try to tell you that God is love? Well, you're in good company. Job, remember, was a blameless man. That is what God said about him. He was a blameless man. He never once quit believing in the existence of God. He never thought for a moment that he was not dealing with a real God, one who could do something about his sufferings, but refused to do it. He didn't forsake God. He didn't turn away from him. He continued throughout all this suffering to confront him face to face, as man to man. I mentioned the other day a little booklet that I have called Facing the Death of Someone You Love. And I read a couple of the steps that the Lord had given me in the midst of my bereavements. I have experienced bereavement twice, losing my first and second husbands. And I realized then that self-pity is probably the greatest temptation. And I don't know of anything more paralyzing. And so we must try to refuse self-pity. And the next thing to do is a positive act of acceptance. We're lonely, of course. Life has changed. Everything seems to have disappeared. Everything that mattered has become utterly meaningless. There are his clothes in the closet. I have to do something about them. There are his books and his papers. I have to go through them and decide what I'm going to do with them. There are the letters that he wrote to me that I have tied up in the attic. Am I prepared to say, yes, Lord, he is gone. I will face this reality. I will not deny it. Not only will I not deny it, but I will say, I accept it, Lord, because it's an event over which I had no control. It's something that I cannot change. I am a widow. And so it is a deliberate act, a resolve to say yes to God. When God takes a loved person from my life, it's in order to call me in a new way to himself. It is, therefore, a vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin words meaning to call. He is calling us to himself. It's in this sphere, for now anyway, that I am to learn of him. Every stage on the pilgrimage is a chance to know him, to be brought to him. Loneliness is a stage, and thank God, only a stage, when we are terribly aware of our own helplessness. As Catherine Mansfield wrote, loneliness opens the gates of my soul and lets the wild beasts stream howling through. But we can accept this, thankful that it brings us to the very present help. There's an excellent book, a marvelous book, on the Gospel according to Job. It's written by Mike Mason, the man who wrote that marvelous book on marriage called The Mystery of Marriage. And just a few months ago, I was sent a copy of his book on Job. It is a blockbuster, and I strongly recommend it. Let me read to you something that may whet your appetite. He's talking about Job's questions. These are the real questions of doubt. Why can I not conquer certain sins? Why do I myself, having wholeheartedly embraced Christ, still experience boredom and fatigue in my life? If my good friend Jesus did conquer the grave, why am I still so afraid of death? Why can I not conquer sin? Am I doing something wrong? Despite all my praying and church going and Bible reading and good works, is my faith, in the final analysis, phony? These are the real questions of doubt. Real doubt is not doubt of God, but doubt of self. In self-doubt, there's no longer any serious doubt of God. If anything, God is too real. He is far more immense than our puny little selves can cope with. Sometimes we would like to turn him off, like the television set, but we can't. Instead, we are wholly alive to God. He is more present to us than we are to ourselves. It is not God's reality we doubt, but our own. We look at the life of Jesus, and it petrifies us. We doubt very much whether we can follow him or obey him or in any way please him, let alone glorify him and be like him. This is the struggle of doubt, and it is the fundamental struggle in the book of Job. Between the lines of every verse, we hear Job asking, With my life in such a terrible mess, is it possible to believe that even now I might be pleasing to God? What the Christian sufferer so often forgets, of course, is that it is precisely this deep personal insecurity that is directly addressed by the gospel. This same overwhelming self-doubt is finally and gloriously resolved by the very God whose holiness so overwhelms us. For so simple is his gospel that it asks nothing else of us but this: having believed in his Son, we take hold of the hope that, however messed up our lives may be, we are more pleasing to the Father than we can possibly comprehend. And I think of George MacDonald using that same illustration. An earthly father is pleased with the first stumbling attempts to walk of his baby son, but he will never be satisfied until the son can stride with a full manly stride. That's the way the Lord looks upon us. We are his helpless, feeble, mistaken, complaining children. But he is pleased with us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he will not be satisfied until we have been conformed to the image of Christ. That's what suffering is about. It's a part of the process of shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.